for the soul.
Shelter,
shelter from the storm.
Manna in the morning,
manna in the morning. Blessings overflowing,
but God leads us alone. Manna in the morning,
manna in the morning. Blessings overflowing, leading us to hope.
Amen. You can have a seat. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, brother.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's always a special opportunity we have when we get together like this, to worship together, to give thanks together, because we have so much to give thanks for. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me at the back?
Amen.
Okay, very good. So we get, as was mentioned earlier, we'll be continuing in the series, Savoring Jesus. And the McDonald's mentioned that before they started it. And today we're going to continue, Savoring Jesus. And the title of the lesson today is When Jesus Becomes Enough. You see, when we savor something, we're captivated by it. It receives our attention. We give it our time. The things that we love shapes our life. It dictates the things that we do, how much time we spend on it, because we love it.
Yeah.
And it begs this question this morning, a spiritual question. Do we savor Jesus? Or do we just use him? And what I mean by that is this. When we savor something, everyone comes to Christ wanting something. It's either you need a prayer answered, you need forgiveness, you're praying for a child, you're praying for a spouse, you want something. Everyone who comes to Jesus, most people, when they come to Jesus, there's something that they want. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things that I mentioned. Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with those things. But if that's our main focus, then we'll end up missing the greatest gift of all that God has given us.
Come on, brother.
And that's a gift of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so today I want us to walk with Peter. We're going to take a look at Peter's life as he comes to this realization that Jesus is enough.
Yeah.
And I want us to walk with him to see the four movements of Peter's heart to help him come to this realization. Because as you know, Peter was an avid fisherman. That was his life. But he had to come to a realization that wasn't there at the beginning. And so we're going to look at the book of Luke together this morning. To see these four movements that I'd like to share for us to look at. Four movements of the heart that Peter had to go through. And I believe it's going to be the same movements that every single one of us as disciples that we'll have to go through. To see that Jesus and come to that realization that Jesus is enough.
Amen.
So let's read together from Luke chapter 5. And we'll read from 1 to 11. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out to deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night, haven't caught a thing, But because you say so, I'll let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come to help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. A familiar story. But within this account, we see a transition, we see a transformation that I think is very important to this whole topic of treasuring Jesus. So here we see Peter, professional fisherman, went out fishing, him and his buddies. And usually when you go to fish, you expect to get something. Yeah. Not come back empty-handed. Mm-hmm. But they caught nothing. Nothing at all. And I can imagine just Peter being discouraged from having nothing to show for his labor. But then something amazing happens. Jesus came after borrowing Peter's boat to do some ministry stuff. He told Peter to put out. And Jesus, after finishing preaching and talking to the people, he said to Peter, "Put out a little from shore to let down the net for a catch." And this is a carpenter telling a professional fisherman how to fish. Yep. And not only that, the professional fisherman caught nothing. And a carpenter is telling him, "Let's do it again." And you can see Peter, you can just feel it in Peter's response. It's like, "Master. Like, I've done this already, you know." But, you know, he respected him. Uh-huh. Didn't want to disrespect him. He's like, "Listen, at night is when you catch fish. Nets, as they say, you can't spread a net in full view of the birds." And so back then, the idea of fishing at night was just that the fish couldn't see the nets, and so it's easier for them to get caught. Yeah. And here is Jesus telling him to put the net out in the day. It's going to be clear. The fish is going to see it. He's sure nothing is going to happen. But he obeyed. Amen. He said, "Just because you say so." Yes. And it's amazing to see when we obey, when Peter obeyed, the transformation that happened. Amen. And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little later. And so he did. He went out and he put out the net. And the scripture says they caught so many fish that the nets began to break. And the boats, they had to call their partners to help them. And the boats began to sink. And when everyone was there crazy, going crazy about the catch, the miracle that happened, Peter saw something that no one else did. Peter wasn't jumping and shouting about the fish. He saw Jesus. And he went and he fell at Jesus' knees. He fell at his knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. For I'm a sinful man." Peter spent the night fishing. That's what he wanted. And when he got it, it's so much. It's like he was amazed by what happened. And he focused on Jesus. Yes. You see, when we see, I think for the very first time in Peter's life, he come to the realization of something. Because as a Jew, an Israelite, Peter, he grew up hearing about the God of Israel. The God of Israel who parted Red Sea so that his people could walk through. Who did mighty things in the desert. Fed the people with manna so that they could eat. There was nothing for them to eat. He sent rain when there was a drought. You know, he raised the dead. He heard about these things, but him himself never experienced it. And so even though religious, there was something missing. And for the first time in his life, I believe Peter got some clarity. To realize that the scripture said the God of yesterday is the same God today. Amen? Amen. That he didn't just do miracles then, but he's also capable of great things today. Amen. And he did it not only for people like Moses and those great men in the Bible. You know, realizing that a lowly, poor, unschooled fisherman, that God could care for him and do what he witnessed.
Amen.
That God is also there for him. And it amazed him to the point he didn't see the fish anymore. He saw holiness standing before him.
Wow.
He saw Jesus in a new light. He saw him for who he is, who he was. And he said, "Go away from me, Lord." You see, previously, Peter called Jesus Master. The chapter before, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. She was sick with a high fever, the scripture says in chapter 4. And Jesus healed her. And as far as the scriptures is concerned, there was no response from Peter. We didn't hear him raving about Jesus or anything. But in this moment, it said he fell at his feet. He was so amazed. You know, sometimes we can be in the scriptures. We can be reading the word. We can be right there next to Jesus and not realize who he is.
Wow.
And what he's capable of.
Wow.
Because Peter was right there with Jesus, but he still saw him as master. He didn't get it. And sometimes things happen in our life and it's not working out the way that we want it to.
Yep.
And we grumble and we complain. It's natural. We're human.
Yep.
We like when we're successful.
Yep.
When we make plans, things happen. And when things doesn't happen, we get discouraged and we lose heart.
Right.
Especially when you're a Christian and you feel like you've been doing it right. I've been coming to church. I've been giving my contribution. Why are my kids not Christians? I've been serving. I've been singing. I've been working hard for the Lord. Why am I still single? And we lose sight of who Jesus is. And I think this happened here. Jesus wanted to remind us of something this morning. You see, sometimes, you see, God is there working in the background on our behalf.
Yep.
Orchestrating things so that God's work can be fulfilled in our lives. So that his will and his work can be manifested in our lives. And we need to trust him. Just like here, Peter didn't get it when his mother-in-law was sick. But he got it at the fish. How do you see Jesus this morning? Do you see him as a good person? A miracle worker? Or do you see him as Lord? Because our love for Jesus will not go higher than how we see him. Our love for him will not go higher than how we perceive him. And so if we perceive him as just, he's just Savior. But he's not Lord. He's a miracle worker. But there are things in my life that, man, it's just not working out. How long am I to wait? I've been doing this for so long and I'm seeing things happen for other people, but it's not happening for me. Maybe I need to do it myself. Peter recognized he was in the presence of holiness.
Yeah.
And he said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. You see, when we come in a realization of who Jesus really is, that he's not a man, that he's not just Savior, but that he is Lord, that he's capable. He's not just one to be obeyed, but he's one that can control nature.
That's right.
The way that we think, the way that we act, the way that we live is just different.
Amen.
Peter, when he came to this realization, he fell at Jesus' knees. And we see similar things happen when people come to that realization of who Jesus is,
Amen.
Who God is. We see Moses falling on his knees. We see Job in the scriptures saying, I repent. In Revelation, it talks about John falling as though dead. And here we see Peter falling to Jesus' knees. When he come to a realization of who he is, when we come to a realization of who Jesus is, our mindset change.
Amen.
The way we live change. The way we think about and act towards Jesus change. You see, many Christians admire Jesus, but very few are overwhelmed by him.
Yeah.
When I became a Christian, about 30 years ago, I knew about God. I learned about him. I heard about him. But I didn't experience his holiness.
Wow.
I knew Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I understood that. And I understood what it meant for me in terms of my salvation. But I never saw Jesus for who he truly was.
Right.
And so my understanding of discipleship and a relationship with God was one based on what I was learning then. If I'm having my quiet time, it means I'm close to God. If I'm sharing my faith, I'm close to God. If I'm coming to church, I am close to God. And my relationship with God ended up being more about things. Than about being and enjoying and worshiping. You see, when we save a God, we see him as beautiful, sufficient, and true.
Amen.
How do you see God this morning?
Amen.
You see, it wasn't until I had an encounter with God that my view and mindset changed. And I shared this before. As a young Christian, you know, I took Petrina home. We weren't even dating at the time. But the point is, I took her home, and in my excitement, I overspent. And when it was time for me to go home, I realized I had no money. I wanted to impress a girl. I don't think that's what I did, but that's what happened. And the point is, I was in a situation where I was in the middle of an area of Kingston, Jamaica. That was a dangerous place to be late. The last taxi was leaving the area. It was the last one. And it's after entering the taxi, I realized I had no money. Because when you go in taxi there, you have to make sure you have money to pay, or you will feel it. Okay? They don't take promissory notes. And so I stopped the driver and I said, let me out. And even the driver asked, what's wrong? Because this is the last taxi. And where I lived was like from here to maybe Carlton Place.
Whoa.
And I said, let me out. I said, I forgot my wallet. Don't have money. And he laughed at me and he said, man, you out of luck. And he drove off. And right then and there, I came face with my mortality because I know I'm going to die.
Oh, man.
I am going to die. Not even dogs was on the street. That place was notorious. There's no place to hide. I knew no one. I felt good my sister was taken care of and she was at home, but I wasn't. And I said, God, I'm going to walk. I said, I'm going to walk. And ahead of me was some dangerous areas. I knew I'm not going to make it through. And I made up my mind to die that night. Wow. I said, I'm going to try something, maybe. And as I started walking, the car came back. And the taxi man said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to walk. He said, you're crazy. Get in the car. And I wanted to go for him to just take me to halfway tree. That was like just, you know, 75% of the journey where I could get something else. And I promised him to pay him back the next day. And he didn't just take me to halfway tree, the 75% of the journey that I asked. He took me all the way home. And I came to realize something that night. That there is indeed a God. Amen. Because a poor guy from Rollington Town in Kingston, Jamaica, poor unschooled, nobody, that the Almighty God still took note of me. And when I gave up and was ready to die, he said, live. And he sent this guy back for me to not just take me to where I asked to be taken to. He took me all the way home.
Amen.
And from that moment, I started to look at my relationship with God very different. That the things that I do know is not just because my family group leader was going to ask, but because there is a God who, this is what, it pleases him.
Yeah.
I would start to pray more. I'd start to read more. I want to know more about him. Because, you know, as a young Christian, I hated reading. But I started to read more because I want to know more about him. I start to see him differently.
Amen.
Not just this person who has a checklist of things, and if you do it, you're okay, and if you don't, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But he actually wants a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to reach out more for him. I want to learn more about this Jesus. Who is this person who will take note of a nobody?
Yeah.
I will rescue you. Even when you didn't ask.
Yep.
You see, maybe some of you this morning, you're here because God wants you to understand that you are important. You are special. And he also wants to have a relationship with you. And every encounter, every blessing that we experience in life is an opportunity for a deeper relationship with God. Every kindness shown, every miracle, you can recall, this is Jesus saying, come to me. You see, Peter realized that it's not about the fish. It's about Jesus.
Amen.
And Peter thought the encounter should end. Because he's saying, there's no way somebody so holy can want to have a relationship with me. Do you know what I've done? Do you know my life? These other fishermen here, they know about me, but you don't, you don't want to associate with me. There are better men here that you can be associated with. But Jesus said something amazing to Peter. He believes holiness means separation, and he expected maybe Jesus to walk away or send him away. But instead, Jesus said something he didn't expect. Which leads me to my second movement. The first movement is recognizing who Jesus is.
Okay.
Truly recognize. Because when we recognize, we will treat him differently. We will look at him differently. We'll realize there's nothing in our life that's more important than Jesus, because he can give you anything you desire.
Amen.
Even without you asking, he's already thinking about it.
Right.
And the second movement is to, once you recognize that, to stay near him.
Amen.
Stay near him. Jesus said, don't be afraid. These four words changed Peter's life. You notice Jesus didn't say to Peter, you know, do more. Change more. He invites him into a relationship with him. He said, don't be afraid.
Amen.
Peter's awareness of his sin didn't push Jesus away.
Yeah.
It actually, when we become aware of our sin, it draws Jesus closer to us.
Yeah.
And this is something as Christians that we need to understand, because it's a struggle for many of us. One of the things I've seen over the years as a Christian, when we start to struggle, we pull away.
Yeah.
We pull away. Anytime you don't see someone in the congregation, most times than not is because they're struggling with something. There's something that's happening in their life that they're struggling with and they're not overcoming. And they pull away. I pull away. I pull away even in my own family. My kids giving me trouble, I pull away. I'm having conflicts with my wife, I pull away. I shut down. But rather than pull away, here we see Jesus is drawing near. As an example, I'm saying don't pull away, but draw near. Understand that I'm here and I want to help you. I want you to know me for who I am. I'm not just a genie who, you know, when you want something, you ask and you get it. And then when you get it, you're gone.
Right.
I actually want to have a relationship with you, to walk with you, to be there. That I'm the one who's providing for you and protecting you from the seen and unseen dangers that exist in this life. But even though we hear this sometimes, it's hard for us to internalize. Because we live in a world where everyone else is doing it. When they struggle, they curse and they pull away. They fight and they quarrel. But Jesus is saying, stay near me.
Amen.
Don't wait on things until things improve for you to come to me. Stay near, because this is where the transformation happens. You recognize who Jesus is. Things don't just change immediately. It's just a start of something beautiful.
Amen.
And if you stay near, you will get to experience it. You see, the safest place for us when we start to struggle with different things in our hearts, different desires, different wants, different needs, is not by yourself or with your friends,
right. But
with Jesus. Amen?
Come on, brother.
Talk to him about how you feel. Express your frustrations to him. Believe me, he hears and he understands.
Mm-hmm.
You're not alone. We only think that because we can't see him. But if you just say it to him,
that's right.
He answers.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
If your heart is truly one where, you know what, I want to get to know this God, he will answer you.
Amen.
Because he wants us to be close to him. He wants to show himself to us. He wants to bless us in ways that we can't even think or imagine.
Amen.
He calls us to him, but he doesn't ask us to remain the way that we are when he calls.
Right.
He said, come as you are, but he does not expect us to stay as we are.
Right.
He calls us into a relationship that's one for transformation, for change. And as grace welcomes us, grace also transforms our lives.
Amen.
I remember for a long time, you know, as a young Christian, I would say, I was very selfish by nature. I don't like to link up with people, but I like to help people. That's how I am. But Jesus don't expect me to stay that way. Because when you look in the scriptures, that's not how he is.
Right.
What is it are you holding on to this morning saying, this is how I am. Accept me for who I am. Jesus doesn't do that. No transformation happened that way. He said, obey me. Even when you don't feel like it and you don't understand it. When you recognize him for who he is, then you realize when he asks us to do something, we don't quarrel. If he says, jump, you don't ask why.
Right.
You ask for how long.
Yeah.
Because of his holiness, because of who he is, we don't quarrel and we don't argue with him. And when you do what he says, you see the transformation starts to happen. Stay with him. Petrine and I have been married now a long time. I don't remember. I stopped counting.
Come on, bro.
The position that we're in now, financially, otherwise, is way better than how we were before. As young marrieds, we had nothing. We just have little more than nothing right now, but as young marrieds, we had nothing. When we were getting married, we had nothing. Everything we had was contributed. Except for the ring.
Ooh.
That one I had to work to buy. The point I'm making is it gets better when we stay with Jesus.
Amen.
I was told when I got baptized that the next woman you sleep with was going to be your wife. And that hit me real hard because in the world I couldn't even find a girlfriend. Oh, am I going to get a wife?
Come on, bro.
No, I'm being honest. And I told myself, you know what? I'm going to bear myself into getting to know Jesus. It gets better.
Amen.
Because in devoting myself to getting to know Jesus, Jesus provides, everything else falls into place.
Amen.
And if you don't get anything else from the message today, get this. You see, when we recognize Jesus for who he is and we savor him, everything else in our life falls into place.
Yeah.
Things just work out.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. It just works out.
That's right.
Everything was contributed when we were young. The first home we lived in was in a quad. A quad was just a little box. Maybe if you stretch, you know, a couple of times you meet the walls on both sides. Very small. The furniture we had, we took out on hire purchase.
Right.
There are times hire purchase means, you know, you go to Leon's and you pay down and you pay monthly. And there are times when the furniture people came back for the furniture. Because we couldn't pay. And sometimes when these things happen in your life, you think, how can I be a Christian and this is happening to me? I see people who are not Christians and they're living better. They have nicer cars, they have nicer homes, there's nothing wrong with them. And I'm here devoting myself to God. And my furniture has been repossessed. But Jesus is saying, stay with me. You see, sometimes God allows some things to happen in our lives to mold certain things within our character.
That's right.
To transform us into that person that he created us to be so that we can see him for who he is.
Amen.
Yeah. Peter didn't see Jesus when he just healed his mother-in-law. He saw him when he had the miraculous catch of fish. You see, God is constantly working. And when we don't get what we want, when we want it at the time, it doesn't mean that God don't like you or he's against you. He's there working on your behalf.
Amen.
And we just need to stay with him. Amen?
Amen?
Stay with him. I tell you as a Christian over 30 years, it gets better.
It does.
Come on, bro.
Amen.
Don't look and say, man, I'm getting so old. I need a husband, I need a boyfriend. I need to go find one for myself because it's not happening. I don't see any good prospects in here. The grass is greener on the other side. Stay with him. Stay with him. It will get better. You see, Peter was about to discover that following Jesus, seeing his holiness, tarrying with him, realize that he's been called into a relationship with him, it will not just change his fortune, but it will change his identity, which leads me to the third movement, and that is to become like him. After we recognize who Jesus is, we recognize his holiness, and we start to acknowledge him for it, and we start to tarry with him, to stay, irrespective of how difficult things get, then third movement is to become like him. Amen. He said, Jesus said to Peter, from now on, you will catch men. Yeah. Notice those words, from now on. Everything changes from that point for Peter. Peter started the day a fisherman, and we know the story in the end. He was the apostle who preached the first message in God's kingdom. Everything changes. His occupation is no longer his identity. His relationship with God became his identity. Amen. Before he lived to catch fish, but no. He spent his time gathering people into God's kingdom. Transformation begins not instantly, brothers and sisters and friends. In God's kingdom, things are not instant most of the time. It takes time. It takes time. Amen. It gets better. Amen. And God want to remind you this morning, he hasn't forgotten about you.
Come on, brother.
But he's encouraging you to see him for who he is.
Amen.
And wait on him, on his timing. Not what the world tells you, that when it should be done.
Yeah.
But wait on his timing. You see, over the next 3 years, Jesus patiently shaped Peter's life. Taught him humility. Faith, compassion, forgiveness, sacrifice. And when Peter stumbled, God didn't just send him away. Because he knows that we're weak in our natural self. He continued and he persevered with Peter. He didn't abandon the work that he started. And that should encourage us.
Amen.
I stand here today because of that same transformation, that same love and perseverance that God has shown. If you knew me before, you wouldn't believe I'm the same person talking to you right now, because I wouldn't be talking to you. And it's not because you're a bad person. I just had really low self-esteem. And I tend to hide. I'm very introverted by nature. Still am. But through the transformation of Jesus Christ, I've now learned to not let that rule me.
Yeah, right.
But to do what Jesus says, amen?
Right.
To not live by my emotions, but by the word of God. To not respond to what I'm feeling, but to God's commands. I've learned that. And it's very difficult. It's not always easy.
Right.
Because sometimes you have to give up your right to maintain peace and unity.
That's right.
In the home and in God's kingdom.
Yeah.
But I wasn't wrong, Jesus. But what did the scripture say? Blessed are the warriors. Blessed are the peacemakers.
Amen.
For they will be called children of God. Sometimes we have to accept the wrong to avoid a quarrel. The transformation is going on. It gets better. We become more and more like Christ, not through self-effort alone, but through staying close to Jesus, doing exactly what he says, not a version of. So if God says, do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, it doesn't mean, okay, we have online service now, I'm not sick, so I can stay home. It's the same thing. I am seeing the message. That's not what it means. If he says, do not give up meeting together, it means we need to meet together. There's something that happens when we meet together that we don't understand, but God does.
Amen.
Just imagine if when Jesus told Peter in the midst of his discouragement and thinking how much of a failure he was and having nothing to show for his hard labor, and Jesus told him, go deeper. Just imagine what would have happened if he said, I'm not doing it, Lord. You're a carpenter. What do you know? This is what I do for my life. Just imagine.
Yeah.
Think about what you know about Peter today. Mm-hmm. Just imagine if he didn't
obey.
If he gave into, he had given into his feelings.
Yep.
You see, every time we give into our feelings and use it as an excuse to deviate from God's word,
right,
we're putting an obstacle in our path for progress.
That's right.
Because God wants nothing more than to bless each and every one of you. God wants nothing more than see you be your best, to be a light in this dark world, to leave a mark like the godly men of old. Every single thing that God does, that's the purpose, that's the goal behind it. But sometimes when we don't see it and we don't feel it and we don't feel like, and other people are doing it, and so why do I have to do it, and why all the time I'm the only one doing it, and we give in to that feeling and we miss a blessing.
Amen.
What is it are you refusing to do that God's put on your heart to do? God is saying, recognize my holiness.
Yep.
Trust me. If I ask you to do something, it's because of your benefit. When he says, do not be unequally yoked, it means do not be unequally yoked. Do not find a girlfriend in the world or a boyfriend at work. When Jesus says, do not be unequally yoked, because light and darkness have nothing in common.
That's right.
But they're a Christian. They said they're a Christian. Test the spirits.
Yes.
Test the spirits. Not everyone who said they're a Christian are a Christian.
That's right.
Honor his word. It removes the stumbling block from their path to success.
Right.
You see, the goal of Christianity is not just simply to know the Bible more or to regularly attend church and avoid sin. The goal of Christianity is to become more and more like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Become more and more like Jesus.
That's right.
And becoming more and more like Jesus means being transformed into his likeness. In John chapter 3, and I'll, not John chapter 3, in John chapter 15, verse 9 to 10, Jesus teaching his disciple about savoring him and being a deeper relationship with him and the success that comes from listening to him, not doing a version of what he says. Partial obedience is disobedience in God's eyes. Read the Old Testament of Saul's life, you'll see it. Partially obeying is not the same as obeying.
That's right.
And teaching his disciples now in this new era, and he said this to them in John 15, verse 9 to 10. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you.
That's right.
Now remain in my love.
Yep.
If you keep my commands, if you do sometimes what I command, you'll remain in my love. That's not what it says. If you do a version of what I ask you to do, because it's not too far. Other people are doing worse. That's not what it says.
That's
he
right.
says, listen carefully. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. But Jesus loves everybody. Of course, absolutely. He does. But if you keep his command, you will remain in that love. He'll never stop loving you, you know. But you'll put obstacles in your path when you stop doing what he says.
Right.
the specific blessings that God want to give you, you'll no longer receive. You see, there are general blessings and there are specific blessings that God wants for you, for his people, Amen. And for you who come to know him, to you who are listening. Yeah. But we don't get it.
Right.
When we don't keep his commands. He said, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love.
Amen.
The secret to success.
The
goal is to become more like Jesus. So what that means is, as we live, brothers and sisters, even as we leave here, friends, as you leave here, people should be able to increasingly see Christ in you.
That's right.
They should be able to see Christ in your character.
Yep.
Even especially when things go wrong.
That's right.
How do you respond? Because if you respond just like the world, that's not Christ.
That's right.
What will others see? What will others imitate? Well, if that's how you that's how you respond when you're upset, when things go wrong, I don't want to know your God.
Right.
What's the difference? People should be able to see and recognize Christ's character. You see, as Peter changes, Jesus gave him a purpose. As he recognized who Christ is, he recognized Christ's worth, and he started to learn to tarry with him and to become like him.
Yeah.
Jesus gave him a new purpose.
Yeah.
You see, when our hearts are captivated by Christ, it naturally begins to invite others to come to know him as well. And which leads me to my fourth and final movement. Share his joy. Recognize his word. Stay with him. Become like him. And finally, share his joy. Luke tells us that they pulled up their boats on shore and left everything and followed him. Just imagine that. Peter's goal was to have a good catch, to maybe make some good money, pay some debt, still have some food at home. And when he encountered the real Jesus, who Jesus really is, and understood his worth, that he was in the presence of holiness, he left it. The very thing he went after, he walked away from it. He walked away from the boat. He walked away from the fish. He walked away from the money. Not because those things were bad, but he found something better. In Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because if he could do that, there's nothing he cannot do.
Right.
You see, the more clearly we see Jesus, the less tightly we cling to everything else.
Yep.
The more clearly we understand who Jesus is, the less tightly we cling to the world. What are you clinging to this morning? Is it Jesus? Is there something that's more important? Jesus is reminding you this morning, listen, there's nothing that I won't do for you.
Amen.
You see, people naturally talk about what they treasure.
Yep, that's right.
Parents speak about their children when they're not giving them trouble. Men speak about their wives, their spouses. We talk about trips we go on where we see spectacular things. You know, I was talking to somebody here today, you know, they said they went on vacation. I said, where you went? They say, Hawaii. Even the way they say it was exciting, you know, Hawaii. It's like, whoa. We're excited about things that we love.
Yeah.
And Jesus told Peter, from no one, you will catch men. And so Peter now had that responsibility to not just keep this joy and this excitement that he discovered to himself, but to share it with others. You see, when God works in our lives, it's not just for us,
yeah.
Brothers and sisters and friends. When God does something for you, it's not just for you.
Yeah.
It's to share with others so that they too can come to know him. Oftentimes we say things like, as for me and my house. It's just for me. As for me and my house. That's not what it means. It's not about keeping things to yourself. Because we are one as a host. We are one. And God wants us to share this joy with others so that they too can come to know him and rejoice in his holiness and have their lives transformed just like ours have been. You see, evangelism is not simply a duty. It's introducing people to the one who can truly transform them. You feel like you're getting beat up by mental health. You feel like you want a family, but it's not happening. You feel like you need to see changes in your children, but it's just not. There's no progress there. Jesus can make it happen when we introduce these situations to him.
Amen.
Introduce to the person. When somebody come and talk to you about challenges that they're having, talk to them about Jesus and what he has done for you.
Amen.
Introduce them to him.
Yep.
You see, if we really speak about Christ, perhaps the question is not so much why we're not sharing our faith anymore. The question more is, are you still captivated by him?
Yeah.
Is he still special in your eyes? Because he's special. Amen. And so as we close this morning, you see, we see Peter started with his livelihood, started the day fishing, but he ended up being a fisher of men. He realized that his greatest need was not the fishing to secure his future and his pension and so that he can live. His greatest need was Christ. The fish fill your nets, but you're going to need more fish another day.
Yeah.
But when Christ fills us, we're fully satisfied.
Amen.
You see, perhaps some of us we're pursuing God's blessing more than God himself. And I believe God is reminding us this morning to see him for who he is.
Yeah.
Maybe we have sought the gifts, neglected the giver.
Right.
And God is saying, see me for who I am.
Yep.
You see, today Jesus still invites us to the same journey that Peter experienced. And that is to see his worth. Lift your eyes from the circumstances, from your situation that tend to, you know, vie for mind share and to keep your focus on it. Because when we focus on our problems, we can't see Jesus.
That's
we can't
right.
hear him.
Yep.
Lift your eyes. See his worth. Stay near him. Don't run from him because of your failures, but run to him because of his grace. Become like him. Allow his presence to reshape your character. And share his joy.
Amen.
Don't keep it to yourself. I'm a Christian today because somebody chose to open their mouth.
Yep.
And talk to me.
Yep.
They didn't know how I was going to respond. And that really doesn't matter. The only thing that God asked us to do, he said, go and tell what God has done for you. Amen?
Amen.
Whether people respond or not, that's between them and God. But you plant the seed and God will make it grow. Amen?
Amen.
And so our goal as a Christian is not merely to know more about Jesus, but to savor him so deeply that everything else, including our worship, our obedience, and our witness, will not flow from an obligation or because somebody's going to ask you or challenge you, but from a delight in who he is.
Amen.
And so as we go into the communion, let's contemplate these things. Everything God does is for our benefit, to bless us, to elevate us, to bring us closer to him so that we can know him more. And that's why he sent Jesus. In John 3:16, what did it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God gave us his best to draw us closer,
Amen.
and deeper and to transform our lives from what it is into what he created you to be. And so as we take the communion this morning, let's remember, there is nothing that you have done that can separate you from God's love.
It's true.
Don't separate from him, but draw close to him. And to understand that as we take the communion, recognizing Christ's broken body and his blood that flowed, give thanks. Celebrate him, but also recognize our responsibility to respond in a way that's appropriate. Not because you have to, but because of a deep love and gratitude to God.
Amen.
For all that he has done. For you through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Let us pray. Sovereign Father, we come before you this morning because we are overwhelmed by you. You lavish your love and your compassion and your grace upon us, Lord God, causing us to live that we can come before you this morning and worship. I know that it really means something. We understand it's not because about us why all this has happened, but it's because about it's about you. It's just who you are, a gracious and compassionate God who delights to show mercy even to those who don't deserve it. And so we thank you for sending Jesus into the world to teach us how we are to live that we can please you. Thank you for opening our eyes that we may see, Lord God, not just the blessing, but to see the holiness and to worship you for it.
Mm-hmm.
And as we take the bread that represents his broken body and the wine that represents his blood that freely flowed to wash us clean of sin and to bring us in a close relationship and bond with you. I pray, Lord God, that you'll help us not to forget, that our gratitude will not be just on a Sunday, but for every day of every week for the rest of our days, so that you, O God, may know that we love you.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for all that you do. Thank you for Jesus, who made all this possible. And it is in his name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord.
And he will lift you up. How sweet the sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there
10,000 years.
When we've been there 10,000 years. Bright shining as the sun. Bright shining as the sun. With no less days to sing us praise. With no less days to sing us praise. Than when we first began. Than when we first began. So humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. So humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And He will lift you up.
JK is supposed to be here. All right. Well, while JK is coming, say a few words about Chris's message, what I think is God's message, essentially. And I think the challenge for me today is how I actually view Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but I personally sometimes come to think about Jesus as a purely miracle worker in my life. And the way I see it is when I realize how much time in my prayer I spend about asking as opposed to listening or praising God. Because if you think Jesus is just that, he's just going to do things for you in your life the way you want them to be, you're not going to get far.
That's right.
But if you truly think Jesus is the Lord of life, of your life, and he's the one who created everything, you would really want to listen to what he has to say.
Amen.
And I think a lot of us, again, personally for me, challenges to, that's a nice thing that we have this unplugged season of our lives where you just can turn everything off, focus on your relationship with God, and try to see what he actually tries to tell you.
Amen.
Because there's a lot there that you probably have been missing. Even when you're asking for it, you just never listen to what God actually answers.
Yeah.
So thank you, Chris. That was it was challenging. And we have a few announcements, and I want JK to start with that.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. For those who may not know me, my name is JK Miller.
Sheldon Miller, and we lead the singles ministry here in Ottawa.
Woo! That's right.
Yeah, so we're here to share just about an end of summer bash event that we're having. It's in collaboration with the campus ministry. So my wife is going to share those details.
Yeah, and for those in campus, this may be the first time you're hearing about this, but that's because we just wanted to share with everybody the details of the get-together. You know, something that stood out to me with Chris's message is he says we can't help but talk about what excites us, what we love.
Amen.
And so for me, I really feel I can't help but talk about how exciting and how awesome it's been to be able to get together with the singles.
Amen.
And the professionals and the people who are coming out of campus. And so on August 22nd, we're going to be having an end of summer bash.
Woo-hoo.
For everyone who's campus, everyone who's singles, those who are young professionals, as a time for everyone to get together, enjoy some time, enjoy some fellowship, some fun, and some games. So details are going to be in the newsletter, but please hold the date, Saturday, August 22nd.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Think about it. End of summer, we're already celebrating it.
No.
Seems like it just began, and I was like, thanks for that.
For reminding.
Anyway, so a few announcements. Now, we like parties, right? So yeah. For on August 21st, I believe, we have party for Michael and Christelle Capé. So let's remember that they're leaving. So not that we're happy that they're leaving, but it's just appreciate what they've done for the church over the years that they stay with us. So next Sunday, we actually, it's a long weekend, and we're going to be in family groups. So talk to your family group. If you're new here, find someone from your area of town. So we actually gather pretty much in every area of town that you can imagine. So find someone who's close to you and I'll check the website. There'll be a form that you can fill. Speaking of end of summer, in the August from 9 to 23rd, we actually be meeting in the park. And the park name is Brookville High School Park. So that's where we had our Christmas party. You remember? So that area. So there will be more details in the announcements and the address and how to get there.
Awesome.
But that's pretty much it, right? So have a long song. All right. Thank you.
Amen.
Thanks, Alex. Again, want to thank Chris for doing an incredible job. Truly impacted our church, my brother. Thank you for all you do. And as we close out, let's stand together and again thank God for the incredible blessings that He showered upon us daily. And let's not take it for granted. Even just being able to meet here and worship in freedom and sing and encourage, it's something that we can take for granted. So that's what's on, right? Let's close out with thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. And thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Thank you, Lord.